from Jakarta, Indonesia. Here is Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz. Online streaming, voanews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. From
here is the news first, the headline. Indonesian President Joko Widodo opens the 10th Indonesia International Geothermal Convention and Exhibition. Indonesian Minister Budi Karya Sumadi discusses plan to decarbonize aviation. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo opens the 10th Indonesia International Geothermal Convention and Exhibition in Jakarta on Wednesday. As cited from Indonesia's Presidential Secretariat, he said Indonesia is committed to being an important part of the world's steps in building a green economy, developing green industries, and making the transition to green energy. However, he also said making a green transition still faces various obstacles, so the results are not yet optimal.
Tapi kita semua tahu dalam melakukan transisi hijau, ini setiap pemerintahan di negara berkembang, hampir semua di negara berkembang dihadapkan pada dilema.
All of us know that in carrying out a green transition, almost every government in developing countries is faced with a dilemma on price affordability. The problem is always there. Then there should be fair access for the community. The use of technology is not open, so it is not optimal. I also understand that the business world must have its own calculation and considerations on the business turnover, problems related to profits and others.
Pertimbangan-pertimbangan baik urusan turnover, masalah yang berkaitan dengan keuntungan, dan yang lain-lainnya.
President Joko Widodo reminded the audience of the opening ceremony that climate change is a global problem. Therefore, he asked all stakeholders to think about climate change together. He hopes the Indonesia International Geothermal Convention and Exhibition can produce a breakthrough in the geothermal sector that can be a middle ground to share risk, burdens, and benefits in a balanced proportion. Indonesian Minister of Transportation Budi Karya Sumadi discussed the government's plan for a gradual shift to sustainable aviation fuels at the Asia-Pacific Air Transport Forum 2024 in Bali on Tuesday, held as part of the 2024 Bali International Air Show. As reported by Antara State News Agency, at the forum, he affirmed the government has made several efforts to achieve the goal. However, he noted that the shifting is not considered easy, not only from a technical perspective, but also from the viewpoints of funding and marketing. Therefore, the government is pursuing economies of scale so in the future, Indonesia can access materials to blend with aviation fuel and become a producer. Next, we have Indonesian Minister of Religious Affairs Yakut Holil Kaumas, who signed a mutual recognition agreement on mutual recognition of the certification of halal or Islamic permissible products between the ministry and an Italian halal institution. As quoted from the ministry press release on Wednesday, Secretary General of the Ministry, Ali Ramdhani, said it is a mandate of the Indonesian law in the context of implementing the mandatory halal certification policy in the country starting on October 17. Some groups of products must be halal certified, such as food and beverage products, raw additives and auxiliary materials for food and beverage, slaughtered products, and slaughtering services. According to Ramdhani, Minister Yakut will attend the agreement signing with Halal Quality Control Italy and the World Halal Authority from Wednesday to Friday, September 20. The last national news comes from a 5-magnitude earthquake struck Bandung Regency in West Java, Indonesia, and its surroundings on Wednesday near Indonesia's fourth largest city of Bandung. The Indonesian Meteorology, Climatology and Geophysics Agency noted the earthquake occurred at about 9:41 a.m. Its epicenter is located 25 kilometers southeast of Bandung District, West Java, at a depth of 10 kilometers. Head of the agency's office in Bandung, Teguh Rahayu, on Wednesday said the shallow earthquake was due to the activity of Garcella Fault. The analysis results showed the fault had a downward shear movement. However, Teguh said the quake didn't have the potential to cause a tsunami. Now we move to the international news. The United States Secretary of State Antony Blinken landed in Cairo, Egypt early Wednesday as efforts to secure an elusive ceasefire in Gaza were further complicated by a wave of blasts in Lebanon. As reported by AFP, on his 10th trip to the Middle East since the start of the war in Gaza, Palestine, nearly a year ago. According to the U.S. State Department, Blinken is expected to meet with Egyptian President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi and hold a press conference with Egyptian Minister of Foreign Affairs Badr Abdelati, but will not be visiting Israel in this round of diplomacy. A 32-year-old computer geek from Australia has been arrested on suspicion of being the mastermind behind an encrypted messaging app used by criminals worldwide to facilitate drug deals and order killings, local police said on Wednesday. As reported by AFP News Agency, the Australian Federal Police said the app, known as Ghost, was marketed as unhackable and was used by hundreds of suspected criminals from Italy, the Middle East, and Asia. But global policing authorities had hacked the network and were watching as the criminals discussed trafficking illicit drugs, money laundering, homicides, and serious violence. We end the news with South Korean military that said North Korea fired a salvo of short-range ballistic missiles early Wednesday. As reported by AFP, it is the country's second such weapons test in a week. The military said the missiles were fired from the North Skycheon area in South Pyongan province and flew about 400 kilometers. South Korean Joint Chiefs of Staff said, in preparation for additional launches, its military has strengthened monitoring and vigilance, while closely sharing information with Japan and the United States. That was the news from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, today's commentary is about Indonesia opens export of marine sedimentation deposit. Recently, there has been a lot of talk in Indonesia about the government reopening the export of sea sand. In 2002, Indonesia's fifth president Megawati Sukarnoputri banned the export of sea sand through Presidential Decree No. 33 of 2002. On control and supervisions of sea sand businesses. At the time, she banned sea sand export to prevent wider environmental damage, such as the sinking of small islands. Now, President Joko Widodo has issued a permit for the export of sea sand by issuing regulations on the export of sedimentation products in Government Regulation No. 26 of 2023, on management of sea sedimentations, and a follow-up to the suggestions of the Indonesian Ministry of Maritime Affairs and Fisheries. Environmental observers disagree with the government's policy because they fear it could cause severe environmental damages. However, President Joko Widodo denied having issued a permit to export sea sand. After inaugurating the Indonesia Islamic Financial Center in Jakarta on Tuesday, 17th of September, he explained that the export opened were sea sediment or deposits that disrupted the flow of ships. He also explained that sea sediment differs from sea sand, although they are both sin. Earlier, the Indonesian Ministry of Trade, which regulates the export of marine sedimentation products, has also explained that the regulation of sea sand export is to overcome sedimentations which can reduce the carrying capacity and capacity of coastal and marine ecosystems, as well as marine health. In addition, the regulation of export can optimize sea sedimentations for coastal and marine ecosystem development and rehabilitations. Export of sea sedimentations in the form of sea sand are also stipulated as long as domestic needs are met and the provisions of laws and regulation are followed. The government decisions are usually issued after going through in-depth studies and considerations of the views of experts in their field. Afterwards, the wider community needs to be explained on the policies issued. In this case, the Indonesian government can also explain how great the domestic need for sea sand is and how severe the sea sedimentation is so that it needs to be exported. Policy implementation without sufficient explanations and proper socializations often leads to misunderstandings that can hinder development. That was commentary.
We begin today in history with the Madiun Rebellion on September 18, 1948. Madiun Rebellion occurred on September 18, 1948, when the People's Democratic Front, comprised of the Indonesian Communist Party, SOPSI, and PESINDO, launched a revolt aiming to overthrow the Republic of Indonesia's government and replace the state ideology Pancasila with communism. Led by Musso and Amir Syarifuddin, the Indonesian Communist Party seized strategic areas in Madiun, Java, and declared the formation of a new government. This conflict was the culmination of political tensions following the fall of the Amir Syarifuddin cabinet and the FDR's dissatisfaction with Hatta's government policies, particularly concerning the rationalization of the armed forces, which affected FDR's armed cadres. The government swiftly responded with military action. On September 30, 1948, the Indonesian Army Forces, led by the Siliwangi Division, successfully recaptured Madiun. Next, on September 18, 1984, Joseph Kittinger set a record by crossing the Atlantic Ocean in a hot air balloon. On September 18, 1984, Colonel Joseph William Kittinger II, a United States Air Force officer, made history as the first person to cross the Atlantic Ocean solo in a hot air balloon. With his helium balloon, Rosie O'Grady, Kittinger began his journey from Caribou, Maine, USA, covering over 5,700 kilometers before landing in Manhattan, Italy. The flight's success was supported by Canadian promoter Gaetan Croteau, who helped organize the solo mission. We end today in history with the World Water Monitoring Day on September 18. World Water Monitoring Day is commemorated annually on September 18 with the goal of ensuring good water quality for the sustainability of all living things. The day was initiated by the America's Clean Water Foundation in 2003. Today, World Water Monitoring Day is sponsored by Earth Eco International, a non-profit environmental organization founded to honor renowned oceanographer Felipe Costa. And that was Today in History.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Today's My Indonesia is entitled "With a Large Market and Islamic Economy, Indonesia has the potential to become the world's halal industry hub." Indonesia is home to 236 million Muslim people. This represents a significant market, positioning the country as a potential global center for the halal industry and ecosystem. This statement was made by the President of the Republic of Indonesia, Joko Widodo, at the inauguration of the Indonesia Islamic Financial Center in Jakarta. President Joko Widodo highlighted the Islamic financial industry in Indonesia has been growing at a faster rate, with asset growth reaching 9.07%. Furthermore, the management of third-party funds by Islamic banks stands at 10.41%. The president emphasized that Bank Syariah Indonesia, as a crucial part of the Islamic economic ecosystem, must continue to grow and evolve, positioning itself as a benchmark for Islamic banking in Indonesia and even globally.
Oleh sebab itu, Bank Syariah Indonesia sebagai bagian penting dari ekosistem ekonomi syariah.
Therefore, Bank Syariah as an essential part of the Islamic economy must continue to grow, must adopt modern management practices, and must be competitive and professional in order to tap into the potential market of our 236 million Muslim people. It must also grow to become the benchmark for Islamic banking in Indonesia, across the ASEAN region, and in the world.
Menjadi barometer perbankan syariah di Indonesia, di regional ASEAN, dan juga di dunia.
In his speech, President Joko Widodo welcomed the establishment of the Indonesia Islamic Financial Center, which is expected to advance the development of the Islamic economy and support the halal industry, Muslim fashion, and halal tourism in Indonesia. Meanwhile, at the opening of the 2024 Java Sharia Economic Festival, Senior Deputy Governor of Bank Indonesia, Destri Damayanti, stated the Islamic economy and finance would drive economic transformation in Indonesia and globally. According to Destri, Islamic finance has the advantage of being resilient in times of crisis, supported by a solid, inclusive, sustainable business model that benefits society's welfare. Furthermore, Destri noted the development of the Islamic economy and finance is becoming increasingly important as the trend of Sharia-based lifestyles grows. According to the State of the Global Islamic Economy Report 2023-2024, spending related to Sharia-compliant consumption, including food, fashion, and travel, continues to rise, reaching $2.29 trillion in 2022, and is projected to exceed $3 trillion by 2027. That was today's My Indonesia.
Malam kau sendiri di tengah gelap malam, hanya untuk mencuri. memberi cahayanya di setiap insan. Malam yang dingin, ku harap engkau memberikan kerinduan di sela mimpi-mimpinya.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's Indonesian Wonder takes you to Banyuwangi Regency in East Java Province, Indonesia, that has many beautiful beaches. Some of them are used as surfing spots. One of these stunning beaches is Red Island Beach in Pesanggaran District, Banyuwangi Regency. The beach is named Red Island because of a small green hill with reddish soil located near the shoreline. This hill can be visited on foot when the tide is low. At Red Island, there's also a temple where Hindu followers perform their prayers or Makkiyi ceremony. This tourism area is managed by Perum Perhutani Unit 2 East Java, South Banyuwangi. The name Red Island refers to a small hill on the beach about 200 meters high with red soil covered by green vegetation which masks its original color. Red Island Beaches has a 3-kilometer stretch of white sand and offers breathtaking natural views. However, the waves at Red Island are quite high, making it less suitable for swimming, especially for children. The high waves in this area make it an ideal spot for surfing enthusiasts. The waves at this beach range from 3 to 5 meters in height. According to local residents, tourists from France, Germany, and Australia often visit this beach to surf. Listener, in fact, Banyuwangi has already Plengkung Beach, famous among surfers for its waves. However, Red Island Beach has an advantage over Plengkung Beach because its waves are not too high, making it a destination for beginner, amateur, and professional surfers alike. Unlike Plengkung Beach or G-Land, which can only be enjoyed by professional surfers, Red Island is also more accessible with smooth roads and proximity to local settlements. The sandy beach with fewer rocks also makes it safer for surfers. In 2013, Red Island Beach hosted an international surfing competition. According to the Indonesian Surfing Association, international surfing competitions will help promote these tourist attractions to the world. Well, listener, that's Indonesian Wonder for today from Voice of Indonesia.
Sedang sendiri, ku coba renungi, ingin apa aku ini? Tak pernah mengerti sampai kini ku sadari, aku tetap tak peduli, hanya aku jalani hidup ini. Pahami, semua orang pasti ingin dapat raih bahagia. Kalau hanya itu aku pun telah mengerti.
Kadang ingin pergi, kadang ingin sendiri. Sampai kini ku tak tahu pasti, aku hanya bisa bermimpi. Ku hanya ingin hidup bahagia, oh. Aku hanya bisa bernyanyi. Aku tak tahu apa yang ku cari di muka bumi.
kali goyah dan ia jatuh lagi. Apa mungkin kutemui kunci di hati yang kan ungkapkan segalanya suatu saat nanti.
Kadang-kadang ingin pergi,
of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services: English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast by shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on voanews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you: Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Dear listeners, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a segment that introduces you to Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the Indonesian language. Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republik Indonesia, and the Language Center and Development Agency at the Ministry of Education, Culture, Research and Technology of the Republic of Indonesia. Today's topic is
Di Pulau Sangalaki. Di Pulau Sangalaki,
which means on Sangalaki Island. Stay tuned. You will listen to a conversation entitled
Penyu-penyuan. Penyu-penyuan,
which means turtle toy. The conversations took place between Chris, an Australian vlogger, and the conversations officers on Sangalaki Island. Brau Regency is Kalimantan province. Chris tells us that he has never held a turtle before. Let's listen to their conversations.
Pulau Sangalaki ini terkenal sebagai tempat konservasi penyu. Di sini, pengunjung, terutama anak-anak, bisa berinteraksi dengan tukik atau anak penyu.
Seru ya? Waktu kecil, saya hanya bisa bermain dengan penyu-penyuan dari plastik.
After listening to the conversations, I will introduce you to some vocabulary related to today's material. I will pronounce it slowly, and you can repeat it after me.
Waktu kecil, waktu kecil,
which means childhood.
Saya, saya,
which means I.
Hanya, hanya,
which means only.
Bisa bermain, bisa bermain,
which means can play.
Dengan, dengan,
which means with.
Penyu-penyuan, penyu-penyuan,
which means turtle toy.
Dari plastik,
which means from plastic.
Waktu kecil saya hanya bisa bermain dengan penyu-penyuan dari plastik. Waktu kecil saya hanya bisa bermain dengan penyu-penyuan dari plastik.
Which means, when I was a child, I could only play with plastic turtle.
Pulau Sangalaki, Pulau Sangalaki,
which means Sangalaki Island.
Terkenal, terkenal,
which means famous.
Sebagai, sebagai,
which means as.
Tempat konservasi, tempat konservasi,
which means conservation site.
Penyu, penyu,
which means turtle.
Pengunjung, pengunjung,
which means visitor.
Anak-anak, anak-anak,
which means children.
Berinteraksi, berinteraksi,
which means to interact.
Tukik, tukik,
which means hatchlings.
Anak penyu, anak penyu,
which means turtle hatchlings.
Seru, seru,
which means fun. In the conversations, you hear this statement.
Waktu kecil, saya hanya bisa bermain dengan penyu-penyuan dari plastik. Waktu kecil, saya hanya bisa bermain dengan penyu-penyuan dari plastik.
Which means, when I was a child, I could only play with plastic turtle. In this statement, the word
penyu-penyuan, penyu-penyuan,
means a toy that resembles a turtle or simply a turtle toy. In Indonesian, to express the meaning of a toy that resembles or imitates a certain object, the word that expresses the object is repeated and given the suffix "an". For example,
mobil-mobilan, mobil-mobilan,
which means a car toy or a toy that resembles a car. Now let's listen to the other examples, the words that mean imitations of object in other sentences.
Mobil-mobilan, mobil-mobilan,
which means car replicas or car toy.
Anak-anak senang bermain mobil-mobilan. Anak-anak senang bermain mobil-mobilan.
Which means children like to play with a car toy.
Rumah-rumahan, rumah-rumahan,
which means toys house.
Ibu membeli rumah-rumahan untuk anak perempuannya. Ibu membeli rumah-rumahan untuk anak perempuannya.
Which means mom bought the toys house for her daughter. Sangalaki Island is located in Berau Regency, East Kalimantan Province. The 280-hectare island is home to hawkbills and green turtle conservations. The island is a habitat for hawkbill and green turtles because these turtle species favor sandy beaches as nesting sites that are free from sound and light sources and human presence. For closing, let's speak Bahasa today. For more clarity, let's listen to the example conversations once again.
Pulau Sangalaki ini terkenal sebagai tempat konservasi penyu. Di sini, pengunjung, terutama anak-anak, bisa berinteraksi dengan tukik atau anak penyu.
Seru ya. Waktu kecil, saya hanya bisa bermain dengan penyu-penyuan dari plastik.
Listeners, that was this week's episode of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia with the conversations entitled
Penyu-penyuan. Penyu-penyuan.
Which means turtle toys. Hopefully today's topic is useful for those of you who want to know more about the Indonesian language. We meet again with more lessons. I'm Daniel and my colleague
Ranov.
Thank you for your attention.
Sampai jumpa.
Hancur hatiku mengenang di kau, jadi keping-keping setelah kau pergi. Tinggalkan kasih sayang yang pernah singgah antara kita. Masihkah ada sayang itu? Memang salahku yang tak pernah bisa meninggalkan dirinya untuk bersama kamu. Walau untuk terus bersama, kan ada hati yang kan terluka. Aku tahu kau tak mau. Sekali lagi maafkanlah,
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's Music Corner presents a traditional song from Southeast Sulawesi entitled Wulele Sanggula. The song was composed by H.M. Sanip. It is typical of Tolaki, Southeast Sulawesi's largest ethnic group, who inhabits Kendari City and Kolaka Regency. The song lyrics use Tolaki language, which means Sanggula flower, the name of a flower in Konawe region and its surroundings. The lyrics contain a folklore about an angel who descended from heaven. The angel is described as very beautiful, always glorified by the Tolaki people. Well, listener, here is the song Wulele Sanggula by Sarah and Nita. Enjoy!
Hey! Voice of Indonesia.